This is the latest episode of the Big Sky Boneheads podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure that you subscribe to the show wherever it is you found it. And if you like what you hear, tell other people to listen too. That's how we get to do what we do. My name's Michael Gray. His name is Scott Hershey. We talk to people around Montana every week on this show. And sometimes we just grab one who crossed the state lines, was making his way through, and had no idea he was going to end up on this mess.
We happen to grab one with millions of social media followers, though. That wasn't by chance. But we have Rodney Norman in the studio and Teresa as well. And thanks for your time, first of all.
I was just looking for a place to pee, but hey, why not? Let's do this.
You know what? As radio shows and podcasts go, we are an excellent place to pee.
Yeah, you do have a nice restroom. I like the fact that there's a women's room and then there's the whoever, whatever room.
Yeah, there's a men's, there's a women's, and then there's a, you know, you pick.
Yeah.
It right. is 2024. Absolutely. That's what you need, I guess, these days.
A lot of them are going just whatever, everywhere now. They're just giving up on men, women. It's like, look, carbon-based life form.
There you
just wash your hands.
Rodney is as I said, lots and lots of social media followers. And I think how to describe you past the influencer part is basically like the philosopher part of it is your take on life simplifies things and makes it a little bit more like he's talking to me. And I don't know how you struck that nerve initially, but somehow you did, Rodney.
Well, that's the goal of every video is that, you know, I just envision I'm talking to one person who needs to hear this message. You know, you have that you have that friend that just will never listen to whatever you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I have all those friends.
Exactly.
I am that friend.
And you just try to find, you know, it's like talking to a kid. It's a child, and you're trying to get them to understand, look, if you stick mental things in that hole, it will shock you. And for some reason, they just don't believe you, and they're going to, you know. But you try to simplify it as much as you can, and maybe so at some point in time, they'll start to listen. And that's kind of the idea behind the character, because he's based on my grandfather, who was an alcoholic, and he was always telling me and my cousins these weird stories. And then one day, I had an epiphany watching a friend who was trying to become an influencer on Instagram, and he always made these videos of, you know, inspirational videos, but this dude has, you know, perfect body. He's got a great tan. He's married to a hot wife. They live in a mansion. He drives a Ferrari.
Why does he want to be on Instagram then?
Well, no one wants to listen to people like that.
He sounds like he already won.
Oh yeah, that's the whole point. Is it's like, why would anyone listen to you? You've got you've already got it. You
get a head start.
And then he looks at him and goes, I don't identify with that.
You're just
at
running
all.
Up right. the score.
Yeah. And that's what I thought, that's it. My drunk grandfather as the world's worst life coach.
Now, if you're also a comedian, the reason you're in Montana, you're playing all of these shows around, you're doing comedy shows around the state. And I do feel like at some point for people around our age, and I think we're all in the same basic zone, saying alcoholic grandfather is redundant, because anybody our age that had a grandfather had an alcoholic grandfather.
Yeah, it was part of the course.
I don't think they came in any other flavor.
You're right, 100%.
The greatest generation were drinkers.
Yes, they were.
And bring gin to work. And I know the origins of the social media thing started, at least my awareness of it started, with the pandemic and this idea, you're not special. And you put that out there, and I imagine put yourself at risk for some flack, because we live in 2024 and everybody's special.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, every once in a while, you know, the way social media works is, you know, something that you did years ago, all of a sudden will just pop back up and start getting attention again. And so it'll get all new, you know, followers or you know, watching it. Mm-hmm. And every time I see that video start popping up again, I start getting hate mail from people. How dare you? Oh. How dare you? The human being is an amazing creature. I was
like, special in our own special way.
Which means that we're not.
So I always reply, well, let me know you didn't watch the whole video. Mm-hmm. Without telling me you didn't watch the whole video.
Right.
Because, you know, it's clearly in the video, it says, look, life is terrible. Everything is miserable. But it's not the end of the world. We're going to get through this. You're nothing special. The universe isn't out to get you. God doesn't hate you. He's probably even barely aware of your existence anyway. Just move on with your life. Just be happy. And you're going to be fine. And for whatever reason, people think that that's a depowering message. I'm like, no, it should be empowering if you really, really realize what's being said.
Well, you got to get over yourself first.
Oh. Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing. You know, I've got two kids. One's about to be 13. One's about to be 16.
Oh, so they're very special.
Well, and I'm constantly telling them, like, here's the thing, man. The minute you leave here, no one gives a shit. Nobody cares about you. They don't care about your feelings. Like, I know you've been raised to believe, you've been in this environment that thinks that somebody's going to be there to coddle you.
Yep.
I'm promised nobody's making you hot chocolate, man. You got to toughen up.
If you think about it, you've got the the people who think everybody's watching them all the time, and they're like, oh, if I wore the wrong shoes one day or whatever, nobody cares. Nobody's paying that much attention to you. They're too worried about themselves to be paying that much attention to you. Yeah. You are nothing special.
And it's extremely odd that resonates with people in a time where they do feel special, or they think everybody's special. And also, it just shows that Rodney going on and creating a character that he thinks is the world's worst philosopher or world's worst life coach becomes people's life coach, because that's where we're at in 2024. Yeah. This guy's awesome. He's got all the secrets.
Well, you know, that really comes down to the secret of the whole thing is that it's the idea is to deliver the message in just the most simple and most ridiculous way possible. And that's what's resonating with people. Because, you know, if somebody gets on there and, like I said, you know, everything's perfect with this guy, you just don't relate to it. You know, you just kind of tune it out. It's like, what's this guy got? But, you know, this dude that looks like he just woke up from a 40-year nap.
Stumbled out of the woods after making some moonshine.
Stumbled out of the woods, and now all of a sudden he's trying to tell you how to live your life. It's like, okay, yeah, bring it on, old fella. And then all of a sudden he just hits you up with some truth that you needed to hear. It's like, oh wow. Ouch.
Simplification.
Well, and not for nothing, but here in this particular part of Montana, we did have a guy who wanted to tell people how to live their lives. Looked a lot like you up there in Lincoln, who very much did just kind of come out of the woods one day.
A lot of things that guy said are becoming right, by the way. So,
again, as philosophers go, wasn't appreciated at the time.
He had some points. Yes. He just made the point the wrong way. You're making the point the right way.
Right. There we go.
Maybe if Kaczynski had an Instagram.
Yeah, he should have.
He could have gotten his message out without, you know, blowing people up.
A little more video, a lot less nails, I think, would have been good for his particular delivery. Would
It's not wrong. Now, let me ask you this. The risk, you've amassed an amazing audience. What is it, like 800,000+ on TikTok, to say nothing of the 400,000+ on Instagram and however many. It's over 1 million people, and... To me, I immediately go to the scary place where, like, wow, if I click post and somebody somewhere finds a way to twist this thing in knots and represent it, I'm going to be in just a mess of trouble because it is in front of so many people so fast. How's that? Does that give you time for pause, or are you just locked into what you're doing? You believe in it, and you just do it and keep stepping.
Well, here's the dirty little secret. It's not what they say about you; it's the fact that they're talking about you at all that's important. And it doesn't really. If I'm at the point now, if something becomes controversial, I love it because that means people are talking about it, and then more people will see it. If everything's always just smooth sailing all the time, you know, nothing really happens. It just, I mean, there's a steady, increase in followers and stuff, and that's all going well. But once there's some controversy, people start fighting about something I said, or they misinterpret it, or something like that, boom, that's when the numbers start jumping. So when people do stuff like that, I'm excited. It's like, all right, here we go, controversy. Let's do it.
We kind of, we do a radio show 5 days a week, 4 hours a day.
Poorly.
Yes. But we, once in a while, we know there's going to be something where we probably... You would think you should stay away from it, but I think Mike and I kind of pride ourselves in the fact that we know where the lines are. We know how to cover
right before
the subject.
I cannonball over it.
We cover the subject, and somehow, some way, have not had anybody come in here and light the building on fire yet. So there's a kind of a methodology to that, to be able to speak, resonate with both sides of any issue,
uh-huh.
And part of it is calling them both dumb. Like, yes, you call everybody dumb.
Yeah, we're all idiots.
We are.
Even myself, I have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there and having a good time. If it works, it works. If not, hey, I'll go back and do it again. Try it over. And that's kind of part of the message, is it's like, you know, because everybody thinks everything's got to be so perfect, especially now where you can edit your videos and you can look perfect and have the audio perfect, you know, video perfect, and the perfect background, and have just the right, you know, catchphrase or whatever in there, and everything's perfect. I wanted to just be just totally wrong about everything. You know, so my hair's a mess, clothes don't match, you know, there's Stayed cars going by, t-shirt. You know, there's just all this, everything they tell you not to do, that's what I'm doing on my videos. And that's what attracts people, because they're like, what is this train wreck going on in front of me? And then before they realize it, it's like, oh, I just solved all the riddles of the universe.
There still has to be an underlying ability to find some lessons around you and some philosophy around you. Because I've seen your videos, and I just watched one this morning, was a perfect example of this. You took one next to a highway, and the underlying message is there's, you know, you were talking about the highway, the trucks, the noise, the exhaust, everything that's going on the highway. But as you turn the camera around, behind you is nature's beauty. And there was a great message in it. The message was, there's always going to be noise. There's always going to be things happening in life that aren't necessarily great. But if you just take a different perspective, take a look around you and find the beautiful things. That sounds silly in the way that you say it, but there's an underlying philosophy that you have to have this ability to find those things around you in order for, mm-hmm. in order to make a video like that as you're driving down the highway. So I think, you know, a little credit where credit is due on the ability to actually be a philosopher.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's just seeing things from a different point of view, and you know, it's kind of fun being a comedian and a philosopher, because I'm always looking for, you know, as a philosopher, you're always looking for the meaning of things. You're always looking for the deeper understanding and everything. And as a comedian, I immediately want to make fun of it as soon as I find it. So yeah. it's been a lot of fun. It's just being able to just say things the way people need to hear them, you know, instead of sugar-coated perfect. It's like...
Well, I'm convinced most philosophers are comedians, so they just have bad material.
Well, and it's the same process.
Nope, nobody thinks they're writing jokes, but they really are, you know.
And right.
You know.
Oh, it is absolutely the same process. I mean, when you follow logic, I mean, really all comedy is just bad logic. And then when you start looking at logic and you realize that most of life is bad logic, mm-hmm. advertising, political speeches, college classes, everything, almost all of it is just riddled with bad logic. But we just go along with it because, you know, we just get accustomed to thinking poorly.
Is that how we accept credit scores?
Exactly.
And a lot of other things that are supposed to be taken seriously. Yeah, you have to look past the surface, and you have to get into kind of the behind what's in front of you a lot in order to have. Jerry Seinfeld has always said he can only hang around comedians because he doesn't have the ability to stop doing that. And right. the only yes. people that can accept that for the surface of the words that come out of his mouth and not look for a deeper meaning in it and get offended by it are comedians and yes. funny people. And there's a lot of truth to that, and that's exactly, and I can easily see that it's the same being philosopher on a serious side or on a subconscious side, and just get into the bigger picture or making it into comedy that's stupid, and that's
another one of his big quotes is enjoy your stupid life, and mm-hmm. He talks about, you know, yeah, things are stupid, but they've always been stupid, they're always going to be stupid. It just, we have more ability to see what the stupid is because it's all in front of us all the time now, and so, you know, despite of the fact that is stupid, and enjoy your stupid life. And people are like, "Oh, that's so mean," and because they're thinking, "Oh, enjoy your stupid life." You know, I don't know, but yeah, it's not mean. If you've watched the video, you know that's actually, yeah, I can enjoy it. It doesn't matter that everything's stupid. I can get out there and still have a smile on my face.
Well, and that's the stupidest part about it.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, some part of the world can be war-torn and ravaged. Another part of the world is frozen and covered in glaciers. And another part of the world is, you know, somewhere is on fire. And I'm mad because somebody didn't remember to make another pot of coffee. Like, because in my world, That's as bad as it gets. You know, exactly. Like, this is outrageous. I can't work in these conditions. I'm going home.
And on the flip side of that, I'm happy because I went home and my dog's waiting for me and he wants his tummy rubbed, and that seems stupid as well.
Right.
But it brings a smile to your face and takes you for a moment away from things like that. There's stupidity on both sides of that.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
The way we react.
Kind of like politics, stupidity on all sides.
Oh boy, it's incentivized stupidity. Unfortunately,
yes.
Like it's like the goal to be dumber than the person that came before you.
Well, I think it's interesting what's happening in America right now. Is I think everybody's starting to wake up to realizing that this whole political game is a sham.
Is a game
played on all of us, mm-hmm. and that we're the ones that are losing on this whole deal. It doesn't matter who wins the election; we're all getting stuck. And I think people are starting to realize that. Just like, hey, wait a second. This whole system's rigged against all of us.
Right.
Right.
So.
Now, you've reached this point about doing all these things that we're talking about that are resonating with people. That social media is where it's ended up with a lot of followers. And now you're doing comedy shows. But your background before this thing hit, were you a comedian for a long time before this? What were you doing before?
I started doing stand-up in November of 98. And I've helped start the Wise Guys Comedy Clubs in Utah, and I've opened for Norm Macdonald, Pauly Shore, Emo Phillips. I mean, some of the biggest names in comedy. I've worked with them, I was pursuing a comedy. You know, we were trying to decide New York or L.A. forever was you had to be in one of those places to get noticed. Mm-hmm. And we ended up trying New York, but we didn't want to live in the city, so we lived in Connecticut. And after all these years, making a video in my backyard was the trick. I could have stayed home.
Who knew?
So it's been a crazy journey because that's the weird thing is I've seen so many comedians who are very, very talented who have been doing this for years that nobody's ever heard of. And they're just as talented, if not even more talented than people that you know that are famous. But for whatever reason, they just didn't ever get their break, you know? Mm. And nowadays, that break, you don't have to, used to be you had to go on Carson, and that was the way to become a real established comic, was you get the blessing of Carson. And then for a while, it was, if you had to have an HBO special.
Yeah.
Or then Comedy Central for a little while. During the 90s, it was like you had to have a Comedy Central special to be a real comic. But now it's just you make one silly video and boom. And now you can start packing out clubs.
Well, and the flip side really of bizarre. That is there's a lot of people who think he is just the social media. Right. And so, we'll contact clubs and say, hey, bring in Rodney Norman. And they go, who? But
and then they wonder, is he going to do that guy for an hour?
Yeah,
and
yeah, right. Exactly. I've heard people who are like, I don't know if I can take that for an hour. But yeah, they don't know that he's got the chops behind him being a comedian. They think that he's, just kind of a fly-by-night influencer and that he's going to get on stage and he's going to just totally bomb. Which is not the case.
Then they see something new and something different, and they find out that that's the real guy that does the comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's similar to some of those comedians that you mentioned, and some more, in the fact that the thing they're most known for and the thing that resonates is a character. It's mm-hmm. Larry the Cable Guy is not Larry the Cable Guy all the time. He was Dan before that, and people always, and when they bring it up, it's shocking.
Yeah.
Emo Phillips, yeah. I'm sure, the same. Pauly Shore, the same.
Yeah.
There's a lot
yeah.
of those guys who find that. Because it's unique. And mm-hmm. so there's not a lot of difference. You just happen to do it later and on social media.
Yeah.
So this has been done many times.
No, that's it. I had Bobcat Goldthwait in studio years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And good guy. I was still so, or I was early in the business. I was in my 20s. And he walked in. He's like, hey, how you doing? I was like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, wait, what?
Right. Are you, no. Is everything okay?
I was like, no, he's like, he was the sweetest guy.
Yes,
but he
is.
Just sat down and started talking. The mics went on and boom, he went into character and did his thing. But I was horrified. I was like, yeah. And it wasn't anything to do with him. I'm like, I'm a moron. I thought that's who that guy was. I had no clue. That was like completely put on. And I'm like, oh boy, I'm having a Country Mouse Goes to the City moment. Like, there's a lot of things out there I may not understand.
And some of them are so weird. That one's a weird one. Paul, Emo Phillips is a weird one. He's just a weird bizarre.
Well, I got to say, Rodney actually had the opportunity to go meet Penn and Teller. And was it a Teller who walked in and was like, hey, how's it going? It's like,
you're not supposed to talk.
What? Right.
Yeah,
what?
He was the most talkative one backstage.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty cool.
I love those guys.
Is there a responsibility that gets baked in when you do amass a certain size audience? Outside of the, you know, the comedy is the thing that you're doing. You're crisscrossing the country. You're traveling everywhere. But when you have people, I've got to believe that along with the hate mail and everything else, you get some fairly serious, like, hey, man, believe it or not, this helped. This was important to me. I heard something from you when I needed to hear it. It made a difference on and on. You know, a million different ways that can happen. When you've amassed an audience this big, what's that like when you realize that people really are paying attention and potentially not for just comedic reasons? They're listening with a different ear.
It's humbling because it's different than what most comics get. You know, well, comics will get stuff. Hey, you know, you've made me feel better with this joke. You get that kind of stuff.
Thanks for making me laugh.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But I'm getting things where, you know, people are writing to me. I've had so many of these where it was literally they were saying, "Look, I was about ready to end it all."
You that's got to be. And the weight of that is hard to get away from.
Yeah. And they said, but I watched one of your videos and it just pulled me out of the funk. And, you know, I'm alive today because of your video. And I'm just thinking, you know, this is a video that I made in Nebraska at a truck stop. I just got out of the car. I'd been taking a nap because I was driving to Missouri.
Because you were in Nebraska.
Yeah. So I pulled over, took a nap, and then I got out of the car to just kind of walk around and, you know, going to wake myself up. And I'm there and I'm looking at the scenery. This is pretty cool scenery. I might as well make a video. I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know what I was going to say before I started making it. And I just said, hey, look, if you're seeing this video, you're still alive. You can still do something with your life. May not be what you wanted, but you still have the opportunity to do something, you know. And that was it, just a simple message. In fact, it was one of those ones that when I was done making it, I thought, yeah, I was dumb. I shouldn't share that with
anybody. Not my best work.
Yeah, you know. But it's become my rule that if my immediate reaction is I hate that, I have to post it because
interesting.
It turns out to be some of the best work. So I posted it, and that one video, I probably had more. I would say it's probably in the hundreds of people who've said that it just completely changed their perspective on life and helped them overcome, you know, the death of a family member or just, you know.
It was one gal who brain cancer. It was, she's like, you know, she survived having a tumor removed and she was like, yeah, I am still here. I can still do stuff. Ooh. And it's just amazing what that video has done.
We've got a few comments like that in the radio show, and it always jars me from people like that, especially people who had something happen to them, and then they say, I needed a laugh. You know, I listened to you guys made me laugh, and that was something I needed. Like that, but that goes to kind of the being a comedian, being somebody who appreciates humor, we understand the need for it. Mm-hmm. We understand that it's important. And then sometimes you look around you and you're like, I don't think anybody else thinks it's important.
The comment that we've had more often than not is, I didn't think I could laugh again. And then I saw your video and I laughed and it felt like the world had just opened back up for me because they had, you know, reached that point where they're like, there is nothing good in this world anymore. I cannot laugh. And then they look at this hot mess and and they laugh.
But then the impact turns around to you. You'll never forget that because you made a difference to her. It happened to us. We were at the dog thing. We had a dog event going on at a park. Uh-huh. And this woman walked up to us and told the story. She'd lost her husband. She'd been going through a lot. Gave us both a hug. It changed our day. Like, and it was impactful to the point where I remember it right now. And you're thinking, I do this stupid thing. And somehow, some way, somebody appreciates it. And it makes a bigger impact than you ever thought. So it is. And then that's what comedy and you know, just messages that resonate have the effect of people.
Well, a lot of it, I think, is just being willing to put yourself out there and be vulnerable and to look silly and look foolish. It, you know, it gives people a break when they realize, hey, you know, because they get so down on themselves. Oh, everybody hates me. Everything's so miserable. I'm such a failure. And then here you come along and you're a big miserable failure, but you're still having a good time. They're going, well, if he can do it.
That's true. Right.
I could probably pull myself out of this one.
But what about the weight of the expectation? Because, you know, we've had a couple of experiences like that happened accidentally. When we do, you know, in our day job, if we do a radio show, it starts at 6, it's over at 10, goodbye. We're done. You're broadcasting to the planet, and you're doing it frequently. You're doing it visually. You're doing it on a number of different platforms. Your reach far exceeds, you know, anything that we're doing in our little town. And people are waiting for the next thing Rodney's going to, like, what's the next thing? Because I remember when you came in here 2 years ago, I was just getting familiar with your material. Mm-hmm. I posted a stupid picture of you and me in the studio and had somebody that I've known for a long time, like, oh my God, like that guy changed my reality. And I was like, what, really? Like,
and, that guy? Are you serious?
But she was just following your posts, you know, in character and everything else. I was like, huh. And that sent me on an even deeper dive. But it occurred to me, like, okay, there's a responsibility that you have created now to make sure that these folks that are following you around get the content they're expecting.
Mm-hmm. What's funny is I have family members who have recently said, hey, I need to get a picture to prove I actually know him.
People are calling me out. Like,
don't know him. You're not related to him. It's not possible. I'm like, he was, you know, I don't know, just hatched out of an egg or something. I don't know. But so, yeah, it's funny when the family, who's, you know, not been the greatest support system, shall I say, of his career all these years, is now suddenly like, oh, I need to prove that I know you.
It's been fun. But yeah, and as far as that responsibility, you do feel it because you don't want to hurt them. You don't want, you're worried about something
down.
You're going to say that somehow they're going to, you know, get hurt by something you say. Like, I have people who have tattoos of me on themselves.
That's next level.
Yeah.
Whoa. It's a different level.
Yeah. It's
more,
like,
than one.
Wow.
It's people. It's, yeah. Multiple.
Yeah. It's kind of bizarre.
That's not kind of bizarre. Interdimensional bizarre.
You start to realize that you have a relationship with these people that you know nothing about. You know, it's like the girl in Kalispell that just gave me a hug in the middle of in Walmart. Because she had such, I mean, she was just almost in tears, you know, she's just like, you changed my life and you have no idea what you mean to me. And she just, it's humbling. It really is. It's very humbling.
Now, and then she proposed marriage, but.
Yes, she did.
Now, as this led to, because this is the internet, this is social media, are there Rodney knockoffs? Are there copycats out there? Or have you noticed any of those folks?
There are some people that started off kind of copying my character, and people really called them out on it.
Because it's hard to be unique.
Yeah, and a few of them, they kind of borrowed from the ideas that I was doing. You know, they basically just having the weirdo that's giving strange advice. Mm-hmm. A lot of those started cropping up. But I don't get too worried about it.
Did you comment? You're like, I'm the original weirdo that gives strange advice, so back off, Jack.
Back
in the day, you know, early days, the kids were little, he did these dad instruction videos. And I had the kids, you know, do part of it. He did stuff like, you know, how to turn off the lights and how to close the cabinet doors and, you know, how to put away the vacuum. And then some other guy came along and he had, and his videos went viral. And so that guy got to be known as the dad's instruction. So, you know, yeah, I mean, Rodney had, you know, I don't know who came up with the idea first, but that guy got the prize.
I was ahead of him by 6 months. Not sure that it bothered me. Not that I researched it.
I'm sure he thanked you, right?
But I did do it before he did.
Yeah. But you'll never see that thank you letter or that check coming.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's sometimes things are, you know, they happen simultaneously or close to simultaneously. But with the, it's, you know, who gets that bell first sometimes.
Are you enjoying the life that this has provided while you're crisscrossing the country?
Absolutely. I just love all of it. I love seeing people and they get excited to see me. I'm happy to be a part of that. You know, I had one time this older couple, and they had about four kids with them, and they came up to me and they were like, "Man, we love you. We love your videos. We appreciate that we can share them with our family. We can share them with our kids, and we can talk about them because you have these important lessons about life, and the kids, you do it in a way that kids understand what's going on, and we were able to talk to them about them, and we just really love what you're doing. Thank you for doing it." And then they're like, "Can we get a picture with you?" And I'm like, "Sure." And they had a boy, he was like 14 years old, and he looked like he was just bored out of his mind. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was just not wanting to be there.
All 14-year-olds look like that all
exactly.
the time.
Yeah. Every time. Yeah. Well, he comes walking up to me to get, you know, kind of in position for the picture, and he says, I'm sorry, I'm really nervous. I've never met somebody famous before." And it dawned on me, this is a big moment for him. This is like... You know, he's seen somebody from the internet. He's right there in front of him. And it was like, you know, I think of it, you know, when I was a kid, you know, if I saw Lee Majors, you know, the $6 million man somewhere, I would be freaking out, you know. Yeah. And I'm realizing I'm seeing this kid. That's what I'm seeing. And I just stuck my hand out. And I said, "Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. It's the first time I'm meeting you, too. And I'm honored to get to be the first that you meet," right? And he was just beaming from ear to ear. And we take the picture. And you know, up to that point in time, I'd always had this attitude of, like, I'm not that famous. Mm-hmm. You know, you have that fake humility. It's like, "Oh, please, I'm nothing special." And then I realized I am something special to them. Why not just be that for them?
Sure.
You know, it's like... I'm pretending most of the time anyway. Why not act like I'm famous? Let's do it. Let's make that. Let's lean into this moment and have a good time.
He does meet people out there in public, and 99% of the time he just nods and smiles, and they have everything to say, and then they walk away, and he's, you know, maybe said hi, and that was it.
I never got a chance to say anything because they were just like, they got all this stuff they want to tell me, and I'm like, okay, all right, sure.
Thank you. How much of that is them just reading back your character to them the best they can, them doing an impression of you to you?
I haven't had too many of those. The biggest thing is just people just telling me their stories, you know. Like the most amazing one it still sticks in my mind was this guy flew from Nebraska up to Chicago, got a rental car, and drove over to a small town in Michigan to meet me doing a show in a bowling alley. And he comes, him, and he's got this pretty woman with him. And he comes up and he says, "Hey, I just want you to know that I, you know, flew here today specifically to meet you because you have changed my life in ways you have no idea." And he goes, "A little over a year and a half ago, my wife left me for my business partner." So we got a divorce. They got 100% of the business. I have nothing. I'm kicked out of the house. She won't let me see the kids. And I'm sitting in an apartment that I can't afford because I have no income. And I literally was ready to end it. He says, "I had a gun and it was loaded. And for whatever reason, I just decided to start scrolling on Facebook. And I came across your video, the one I was talking about in Nebraska."
Right.
And he says, "I watched that and I realized I do have more to do in this life." He says, I put the gun down and I just, at that moment, my whole perspective of life changed. And I started thinking, okay, what can I do? And I says, he goes, "I still had a lot of connections in the industry that I was in. I could still," I thought, "you know, I could just start over. sure, it took me, you know, 20 years to build that business, but I did it before. I can do it again. I know more now than I started. Mm-hmm. I could do it. So he started making some phone calls, and within a couple of weeks, he had established a new business, and he got new contracts and had better deals than he had before. And all of a sudden, he was making more money than ever before. He moved into a nicer house, got a car, had a hotter young chick with him.
Hit the upgrade button. Yeah,
he goes, that's exactly what he said. He said, I upgraded in every possible way. And he says, I have nothing but praise to you. Thank you. You've changed my, you saved my life. And it's better now. And
that's a cool story. Awesome. You should buy a t-shirt.
Right.
He did. He bought several.
Now, I guess the question changes. It's not necessarily about understanding the gravity of the message, but to you, Teresa, how do you keep him from going full-on diva, waking up and going, render onto Caesar, bitches? Like,
oh, trust me, we've been married. We're coming up on our 32nd wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow. And,
I know he doesn't have all the answers, so... I just go, hey, you peed on the toilet seat again. And it keeps him humble.
No, she's, you know, that's the thing is, this is all possible because of her. I mean, she's the one that got me into stand-up. She's the one who's dedicated her life to this, especially when this started blowing up. You know, she was just like, look, I'm not going. She could have gone back in to work somewhere else or do something else, but she decided this is it. I'm all in. And, you know, she took over making merchandise and running the website and helping book everything. And she's really the key to making all this work.
Clearly. So
because, you know, he can't pay attention for longer than 35 right. seconds.
That's the thing. That's one of the things you learn when you talk to a lot of guests. It's never one person, of course. And right. And there's always somebody doing work, taking the pictures, taking the videos, you know, and keeping the motors churning and keeping, you know, because you're going to once in a while just, you know, run into the wall and things and not want to do some of the tasks. And then it takes more than one person. So it's a team. Mm-hmm. What is the, we mentioned the t-shirts, a little bit of merch, but I don't see it as over the top. I don't see your, you know, not everything, but there's got to be like a Rodney Norman business that goes with this. What have you turned it into? Where's more of that at?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to be one of those influencers that like every other thing is I'm selling buy this, because it's not really what it's about. I mean, we did the merch because people kept asking for it.
Yeah.
You know, and so we started with that, and it's been fun, but it's like I don't want it to be the purpose for what I'm doing. I'm not doing this for the money. I mean, we're making some money. We're paying our bills.
You got to pay for gas to go down the road.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And probably I think my favorite thing that we've done is the calendar that we do every year. We've got four of them out so far, and they're amazing. Because people, you know, at the beginning, they were like, well, I need Rodney every day. And I'm like, every day? That sounds like a calendar to me. And
she's also thinking, look, I have him every day. Yeah. And trust me.
He pees on the toilet seat. Exactly. It's not as great as you might think.
So
always looks like he rolled out of bed.
But
and he's diabetic, so it's sticky.
So we were able to, you know, we pulled together some photos, we pulled together some, you know, quotes from his videos, and people absolutely love it because they're like, you know what, it gives me that something to look at every day where I can be like, hey, I don't have to take life so seriously. I don't have to be quite so, you know, perfect as I think I have to be, or, you know, and it's been kind of funny because they'll be like, I didn't open the rest of the months until I got to the next month because I wanted to be surprised by what his advice was going to be. And wow, it was spot on. And I'm like, really? I just picked it out of a video at random. So, But we have a lot of fun. There's a couple little Easter eggs in the poster that in the calendar that I like to do. Like, you know, there's one, it's like, he says, you know, if you manifest to the universe, that's all great, but you still have to do stuff. You still have to actually, you know, follow through and, you know, just wishing for something basically won't make it happen. But then he's wearing a t-shirt that says, don't make me do stuff. So
there's just both can be true.
Exactly.
Yes.
So it's fun because we get to make that up and we work on that all year long. And then we put it out sometime, I don't know, right before Christmas. It should be a lot earlier than that. But It's a lot of fun that we've been able to put that
together. Well, it lends itself to that very well. You know, absolutely. And like I said, people want t-shirts. Lends itself to coffee cups. Like, you know, people love to have a little message on their coffee cups. So, yeah, I don't think you're going over the top with it, but obviously people are going to want that thing. They're going to want those things.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you've got a whole section of your website taking that to the next level. That's fan art.
Oh, yeah.
People doing drawings of you, you know, going back to the tattoos that people have, you know, doing stuff photographically, and then just people stopping you on the street for selfies. That's a whole other dimension to this thing. Like, if somebody drew me, I don't know what I would... I assume if I ever am drawn, it will be in a courtroom.
trust me, my we recently rented some office space because we just needed to, well, we needed to be away from the puppies. But anyway, that's another story. And he's taken all of the fan art that people have sent him and put it up in my office. So yeah, it looks like I am. Well, I mean, I have surrounded like 10. By Rodney.
What's up, stalker?
Exactly. Every different art style, form, whatever. I have so many pictures of him up on my walls. It's amazing. So it's funny because people all the time they just find some kind of comfort in drawing that crazy hair, I guess.
Are you're probably committed to that look, right?
You can't. Well, I'm having fun with it. I mean, it's because I just never I get you just get bored looking like everybody else, you know. I just, people keep telling me, you should shave the beard and cut the hair. You look better. So, look, I'm not trying to look better. I'm not trying to pick up women.
Better than what?
I already got one.
Right.
And she likes me regardless. She likes what's going on over here.
Most
or,
of the time.
Or at the very least, she's resolved to it. Either one. Well,
there's a lot of paperwork to back out at this point, so...
Well, and you know, as we wrap this up, because I know you guys have got things to do.
We got laundry.
I've got two kids. Trust me, laundry will take a day. You've managed to turn the essence of social media on its head. I mentioned I have a daughter. She's about to be 16. I don't think about a lot else. The psychological harm, especially with young girls, mm-hmm. that's been done through exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
This idealized, you have to look like this. You have to weigh this. You have to wear this. This is what makes you a quality human being. And it's all superficial bullshit. It's mm-hmm. it's all image and style over substance. You've turned that on its head. In the most amazing way, to do what you want, to look the way you want, to wear what you want, and then embrace this wacky character. That for me is the part that's neatest, because we talk about it all the time. The harm that's done, mm-hmm. the anger, the rage, the depression, and all of the psychological scars that have been born by chasing this imaginary fairy that's out there, whether it's on Instagram, TikTok, whatever mm-hmm. it is. People that are chasing that, and you've managed to amass an audience and get a message through by doing the exact opposite, by remaining true and mm-hmm. authentic to yourself.
And it's been a blast being, as a comedian, just being a total contrarian and just making fun of, the Emperor's New Clothes, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just having a blast. I mean, it's fun. I get to, get up and, hey, if it goes wrong and it's bad, it's even better for me. It's on brand.
We were talking about you.
If I trip and fall on stage, funnier.
Earlier, we were talking that you had gone and you actually attended some things where they show you a little bit about how to optimize social media. And I can imagine you're surrounded by those people. And all of these bikini girls are going, who is this guy?
Are you their chauffeur? Are you the chaperone?
Are you somebody's dad?
Got to stand there next to abs guy.
Well, it was funny to me because you go and you meet people at these conferences and they find out that you're on YouTube or whatever. So then they look you up and they got to see how many followers you
have. Of course, yeah.
That's your currency.
Yeah, that's it. And it was always funny to me because the vast majority of them were never anywhere near what my numbers were. Mm-hmm. And so when they meet me and they're like, oh, who is this old coot? Oh,
That happened when you got here, when you were still down in the green room, and we had somebody come down to, hey, you have a guest here, and it's the youngest member of our staff, and he's dumber than a bag of hammers.
he's a good-looking dude, though.
He is. He's getting by on that, too.
Yes.
He's 22 years old. He still wears a 28-inch waist, but he sucks in every other dimension. He's a terrible person. Like so many pretty young people.
Not that you're bitter.
Salty. Just like father time over here. Off my back surgery. I can't even sit up straight. So you came in and he's like, yeah, somebody says he's a guest. I don't know. I was like, oh, Rodney? He's like, yeah, I think that was his name.
He looks like a Rodney.
Well, and because he's 22 and because he's a total dipshit, I was like, you know that guy's internet famous. He's like, what? I pulled up your Instagram page. I'm like, eh. And he did the thing. He went right to your follower count. He's like, whoa. Yeah. And immediately was rethinking all of his decisions. And you can
what's
see.
What's he doing here?
Well, 100%. And why is he talking to you two, ding dong? And that is, you know, my son thinks being a YouTuber, he talks about that in the same sense that when I was 13, I was talking about being a firefighter.
Mm. Oh,
like
yeah.
It's a thing you can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing you can be. And it's not, you know, I'm 49 years old. I still, when I hear influencer, when I hear somebody, oh, I got this many likes, you know, I'm just like, brother, you know, and that's not weird for that generation, for somebody of that age to find out like, oh my God, that's an SI swimsuit issue cover model, you know?
And, yes, yes.
Well, I found out by watching my daughter watch YouTube videos. And at first I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's watching these YouTube people. Then I started to think these people are geniuses. These people have found a way to do something, create a living out of it. In a lot of cases, a very good living by doing something really simple or doing, you know, my daughter would watch these group of guys playing video games. And I'm like, they're getting paid a lot of money to play video games. Yes. Like they're smarter than I am.
He's genius.
If you start to look at it that way, you can understand kind of.
We have a friend who, back when YouTube was first starting, he did car repair videos. And he makes a very comfortable living off of car repair videos because he's been out there for however many years. And he's like, I don't even have to put out new content. Just the stuff that's already out there is
recycling.
Because people, you know, oh, how do I fix my
your car? Will continue.
Mazda.
It will keep breaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And that's kind of the strategy I've taken with mine is that I don't do a lot of topical stuff because it has a shelf life. So I do stuff that's going to be just as impactful as a message now as it will be in 20 years, you know, and it's a slow build. It's a slow burn, but I know that it just keeps getting better and bigger and bigger. And
they fall down that rabbit hole and they're like, how did I just spend 3 hours? They were 1 minute videos. How did I lose that much time?
Right.
I must have gone through a warp or something.
Selfishly, the idea of the character behind the news desk covering the day's headlines would make me very happy. Just the notion of you like trying to Walter Cronkite it. Here's what's going on today, boys and girls.
That might be fun. Could probably do that.
Well, you know, again, thank you for coming in. We hope you enjoy your travels all over Kalispell, Butte, Helena.
Thank you for having us.
Moving around. Appreciate the fact that you returned our calls.
I appreciate you finally returned mine.
Took a while. We didn't know what to do.
I'm glad he looked at you when he said that because
it was me. But I'm like, I don't know what to do with it.
I have been laid up with this surgery.
See, we were going to blame it on the 22-year-old.
Chances are he is to blame. No, the thing of it is, and Scott is ahead of me on things because I've been laid up with this stupid surgery. Mm-hmm. I was completely out of commission for like 2 weeks. And I come back and I got a hold of him yesterday. I'm like, Rodney's in town. Did you know that? And he's like, well, yeah, I emailed him.
Yeah.
Were you going to let me know? Like, I feel like I'm the one I just got woken out of a coma. What year is it? Where is everybody? How come I don't have pants? Like, you know, and so I'm glad we were able to put this together. You guys have been wonderful to work with.
It's always a pleasure.
Well,
always
thanks a ton.
Pleasure to be here.
Go to RodneyNorman.com. We will put that in the show notes as well. We'll link that up. You can grab all of the stuff, the videos, all of the links to the various social. Anywhere else you guys want to be found, or is it all in the website?
It's just right there. Yeah, that's okay. Everything.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, so thank you.
Thank you
so much. that is it for this week. We will be back, and we'll do it again next week. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the show wherever you found it. And thanks for your time.